Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 4. The book of Isaiah and chapter number 4. We're continuing with our series as we're beginning this year with the book of Isaiah. Remember that the book of Isaiah is a book about God. Over and over, it points to God. It points to the Messiah. It points to what God is going to accomplish, not only with Jesus' first coming, but it is also talking about the millennial kingdom during Jesus' second coming. And with the book of Isaiah, we learn quite a bit about who God is. It is a wonderful book to study, especially when we're seeking to find and get a clear vision of who the Lord is. We find our way to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 4, and we start at verse number 2. The book of Isaiah, chapter 4, notice with me in verse number 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies and a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat and for a place of refuge for a covert from storm and from rain. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a name of God that we find in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 4? The book of Isaiah in chapter 4, and notice the name of God given to us in verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2, the branch of the Lord. And with the Lord's help, we're going to study this name of God that we find here in Isaiah chapter 4, the branch of the Lord. The branch of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you today and open up your Bible, let us learn more of you. As you have revealed yourself through your names, you give us these names on purpose so we can have a better understanding, a better sense of whom you are, to learn about your attributes, your characteristics, and how that affects us. Lord, as we come up to you, help our mind and our attention be on you. Let us be wowed by you. Let us be amazed by you. And thank you for all that you have planned for us. Fill me with your precious spirit that I may be the messenger that I ought to be for these good folks today. And that we could trust you to do your own work through your precious word. In your name we pray. Amen. The branch of the Lord. Now in Isaiah chapter 2, God had introduced the concept of the millennial kingdom already. In chapter number 3, God goes back and puts an emphasis on the judgment that is going to befall upon the people. Now in chapter 4, he comes back to a millennial kingdom view. And we learn quite a bit as God is now talking about the judgment that's going to pass and then contrasting it with what is going to happen with God and his people inside of the millennial kingdom. And in the midst of this, God reveals a name. He reveals something about whom he is as God talks about the branch of the Lord. If you don't mind, I'd like to show you a couple things from this passage. The first thing, the branch of the Lord and the fruit of the earth. The branch of the Lord and the fruit of the earth. These are two titles, two things that we see here. And so notice in verse 1, we didn't read it, but this actually attaches to the ending of chapter 3 talking about judgment. He said, in that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away a reproach. Now, this is specifically talking about a time of judgment at the end of the millennial king, or at the end of the tribulation. So at the tribulation, we know that this is a period where God is working to bring his people back to himself. And God is going to be bringing judgment upon the entire world. And death is going to be very much an everyday occurrence. As you read the book of Revelation, you could see death and judgment falling upon the earth over and over. The entire time that God is judging the earth, he is still working on bringing his people to himself. Here it's talking about how bad judgment's going to get is that seven women, they're looking for a man that's still alive, looking for some man. And so these seven women go up to a guy that they find and said, listen, as long as you, we could carry your name, that we could be associated with you, we'll take care of our own clothes, we'll take care of our own funding and stuff. We just want to be attached by you. And by the way, guys, you don't want to wait that long, but that's pretty good picking when you got like seven ladies trying to find a guy and saying, you know, we're willing to share. We just want to carry your name. That's all we want. We just want this umbrella, this protection. That's how bad judgment is going to get, is that the desperation levels in that tribulation period are going to be horrible, more than any movie or Hollywood could ever show. But then it now switches from the end of the tribulation to the beginning of the millennial in chapter number 4 and verse 2. It says, in that day. The phrase in that day appears frequently within the book of Isaiah, and it's already appeared 6 times in the first 3 chapters. This phrase usually carries with it the time of judgment, the day of judgment, in that day. And it's usually talking about when God's bringing judgment, whether it's inside of the tribulation or upon the nations of the world at the end of the tribulation, in that day. But sometimes when it says in that day, it's making a reference to, in this case, the millennial kingdom, that in that day, in the day of the millennial kingdom, this is how it's going to work. And so remember, verse 1 was a contrast talking about the tribulation. Then it says, but in that day, so now it's talking about a different day, talking about another transition. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful. Now it's talking about the millennial kingdom, and it's bringing up a specific name of God called the branch of the Lord. The branch of the Lord is a messianic title, meaning it's a title in the Old Testament for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word that is used for branch occurs 12 times in the Old Testament, and each of those 12 times is a specific occurrence to the Messiah, to this promised one that would come. In fact, as you line up each of those 12 references, we get 4 different views that the branch of the Lord shows, each one of them showing the Messiah in a different light. If you wouldn't mind, may we look at some of these really quick? We're coming back to Isaiah chapter 4 in a second, but may I show you these references of the branch? Notice with me in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. And notice with me in verse number 5, Jeremiah chapter 23, starting at verse 5, it says, and behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Here in the book of Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah 33:15, we're not going to turn there, this picture of the branch shows that Jesus is king, just like the gospel record of Matthew does. Remember, the gospel record of Matthew shows Jesus Christ as the king. And so the name branch, first of all, we could see in the Bible, it shows that Jesus Christ as king. There are more references to the branch. Notice with me, if you don't mind, Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the minor prophets. Look with me, if you don't mind, Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, we have a reference of the branch. Notice with me, Zechariah chapter 3 and verse number 8. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." Here in Zechariah chapter 3, it portrays Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as the servant, as the servant. By the way, this is the same picture that the gospel record of Mark shows of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is pictured as the servant. So the branch is showed as Jesus Christ as the king, like the gospel record of Matthew. It shows Jesus Christ as the servant, just like the gospel record of Mark. Well, let's see what else pictures that we find of this branch. Notice with me in Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 12. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse number 12. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Notice in this reference of the branch, Zechariah 6:12, that it says, "Behold, the man." And here it is portraying Jesus Christ as the perfect man, just like we see in the gospel record of Luke. The picture of Jesus Christ in the gospel record of Luke shows Jesus as the perfect man. As we go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 4, we see another reference of the branch and where we were first starting from. This book of the branch in Isaiah, chapter number 4, and verse number 2. "And in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped." Here in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2, we see the branch as God, just like portrayed in the gospel record of John. And so with each of these, we see that the branch is a messianic title for the Lord Jesus Christ. And each of its references is going to show him in his different ways that the Bible views him, that Jesus Christ is the king, the one that was promised to be king of Israel. Jesus Christ is shown as the perfect servant, that he made himself of no reputation in the form of a servant, and he is portrayed as the perfect servant in the gospel record of Mark. We see Jesus Christ as the man, and we see him portrayed that away in the gospel record of Luke, and then Jesus Christ as the Lord. He is God, and we see that in the gospel record of John. It's almost like we had the same author putting this together over the years, that God already knew who Jesus was, because Jesus is God, and already knew these gospel records and how he was going to portray and show the different aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Jesus, but different ways of looking at him. That Jesus is king. That Jesus is the servant. Jesus is the perfect man, and Jesus is God. And that the title branch that we find, this name of God that we find in the Old Testament, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to show him in his four different views. Jesus Christ, the branch. He is the perfect one. Now, in here, in chapter number 4, in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2, as we see Jesus Christ as the perfect branch, notice as we see the rest of the verse, "And in that day shall the branch of the Lord," so here we're putting an emphasis on his divinity, that he is the branch of the Lord, "in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that have escaped Israel. Notice at the end, it says the fruit of the earth. This is putting an emphasis on Jesus Christ's humanity. So in the same verse, we see the branch, who is a picture of Jesus Christ. He is God. He is also man. You say, how does that work out? Well, he's the God-man. He is God robed in flesh. You say, I want to know more. Well, thankfully, there's a whole book in the Bible that describes it in detail. It's called the Gospel Record of John, where you see Jesus Christ, who is God, who is at the same time robed in flesh as a man, the same man that you and I have, the same flesh. But Jesus lived his life perfect because he was God. And he has all the power that God. Jesus did not set aside his deity when he came to earth. He was still God at the same time. He just robed himself in flesh. And now, as it's talking and turning to the millennial kingdom, this God robed in flesh is coming to this earth to rule and to reign and set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And what we would call the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. This special title that shows Jesus Christ both as God and human, and he's going to be the ruler of this earth. Notice again as it describes him, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. We're thankful and we are looking forward to Jesus Christ coming. That is our great hope, the blessed hope. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We are looking forward to him setting up his kingdom. Well, as we continue with the book of Isaiah, chapter number 4, we learn some more about the branch as this begins to describe more of this millennial kingdom. Notice this, not only is, the branch of the Lord and the fruit and the fruit of the earth, but we also see the branch washes the people from their filthiness. The branch washes the people from their filthiness. Notice with me in verse number 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, remember Zion is a poetical name for Jerusalem, and it carries with it what God intends Jerusalem to be, and in the millennial kingdom, it's going to be what God desired Jerusalem to be. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. So what's going on here? Now remember, this is transitioning from verse 1, where it's talking about the tribulation, to the millennial kingdom. What happens during this time? Well, what happens during this time is that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down to this earth, by the way, us saints get to come down with him. When he comes down to this earth, the tribulation has already been going on. The people of Jerusalem are going to be betrayed by who they thought was their hero, the Antichrist, at the 3.5-year mark in what is called the abomination of desolations. During this time, the Hebrew people are going to realize that this was a liar, and they are going to flee. And the persecution upon the Jewish people are going to be the highest it's ever been in history. There's never been a persecution like what's going to happen in the tribulation as what is going to happen during that period, that World War II and the final solution that Hitler and Himmler came up with is not going to match what the tribulation is going to be for the Hebrew people. But God is also raining judgment upon the earth. And what God is going to do is when he comes down, he is going to judge all of those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior at that time. He is going to wipe them off the earth. Then Jesus Christ is going to regather all of Jerusalem, all the Hebrew people that are still alive during that time, and he's going to gather them to himself, to the nation of Israel, and Jerusalem is their capital. He's going to bring them all in one place. These people who are still in their bodies, they are going to be considered holy, washed clean. Jesus is going to forgive them of their sins. By the way, how did they make to the tribulation? They realized during the tribulation period that Jesus was God, and they turned to him. And now God is going to take these people that have accepted his forgiveness, bring them to himself, and he is going to wash them clean. And he is now going to start this brand new kingdom with these people at the center of it. Remember that as time goes on, these people who have these brand new body or still these old fleshly bodies, they're going to still be able to reproduce and have children. And the population of the world is going to increase rapidly when you have Garden of Eden conditions with very few people dying and a lot of people still alive. They're going to be able to have lots of children. By the way, that's what we're there for. The millennial kingdom is a fulfillment of promise to the Hebrew people. Then why are we there? We're there to help fulfill the promise as we are going to have our brand new redeemed bodies and work with the Lord Jesus Christ in this perfect government to help administrate and take care of the Hebrew people who are there at that time. So we're a part of the plan, but we're a part of God fulfilling his promises to the Hebrew people. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to wash them clean. He is going to cause them to be holy. Their names are going to be written down in the book of life, and they're to him. By the way, notice in verse 3 again. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. And when the Lord shall wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion. Now, this is important stuff because this still affects us today. What do you mean, preacher? Well, we understand that all of us are filthy. The Bible talks about this in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, where it spoke about that all of our righteousness is filthy rags. We have nothing to offer. We are sick from the top of our heads to the sole of our foot. We are sick, putrid. We are sores, puturing sores. We have nothing to offer God. Filthy and nasty. But we can go up to a Lord God who is willing to forgive us of our sins. And if we come to him, he's willing to wash us clean as white as snow. Remember Isaiah chapter 1 says, let us reason together. Remember that idea of let us reason is a judicial term. And it says, there's no argument you can make. This is it. Let's just be honest. You are guilty. Amen. And without a doubt, we're all guilty. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all filthy in our own sin and muck. But Jesus is willing to settle out of court. And if we are come to him and admit that we're sinners and admit that we failed and that we deserve punishment, he's willing to take us and to wash us white as snow, to wash away our filthiness. In addition, notice again at the end of verse number 3, even everyone that is written among the living. I'm thankful that the Bible speaks about that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. What is that? It is a special diary journal that Jesus has that he writes down everyone that came to him. By the way, the Bible is very clear that if your name's written there, your name can never be blotted out. That's a blessing. My name is written down. When the roll is called up yonder, my name's going to be there. And God has his name written down. We're washed clean. We get to be a part of that. And God has offered that to the Hebrew people as well. The process is still the same. We're filthy. We have nothing to offer. We cannot wash our way clean. Our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we come to him by faith, he's willing to wash us of our filthiness. He's willing to write our names down. And he's willing to make us holy. The idea of holy is that he's bringing us to himself. He is a God that's set apart, which we'll learn about tonight. And his desire is to bring his people to him and to make his people like himself. And the Lord Jesus here said that he is going to make these people holy. With this, we could see as the Lord Jesus Christ is portrayed as the branch, that he is God robed in flesh, and he's going to come and rule and reign in this millennial kingdom. That the branch, we could see that it washes the people from their filthiness. Well, we see one more thing about the branch here. The branch protects the people. The branch protects the people. Notice with me in verse number 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For all, upon all the glory shall be a defense. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, this should sound familiar. Remember that when the children of Israel were escaping from Egypt and they were wandering around in the wilderness, that God provided his presence to be among the people. He promised that he would have his pillar of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire by night. And this was the defense of Israel. What do you mean by the defense? Well, remember when Pharaoh and his army were coming to take the people and they were entangled in the land? They had the Red Sea on one side and they were stuck in the Sinai Peninsula. They had nowhere to escape to. Pharaoh and his army said, oh, look at these dummies. They can't even read a map. They got lost. We're going to capture them and bring them back. And so as they were coming back, the children of Israel now in a hard spot. They had the Red Sea on one side, Pharaoh's army on the other side. There's no way that they can get out of this except God. And so God moved his pillar of smoke of the day and the pillar of fire by night, and he put it between the children of Israel and Egypt, the Egyptian army. And he kept the Egyptian army from going forward. By the way, even the horses had enough brains to said, I'm not going to go touch this pillar of fire. By the way, it wasn't like a little tiny thing. It was a huge, wide thing. And they're like, we're not crossing that. That doesn't look healthy. They were frightened. This is supernatural. This is something you don't normally see. No one dared to go across. And so God was holding him at bay. Then he told Moses to take the rod in thy hand and raise it up. And the Red Sea parted. And this thing parted not just small, but 3 miles wide. And the children of Israel were able to cross. Now, why am I making a big deal of the 3 miles wide? Remember, what was keeping the Egyptian army from following after them? This pillar of fire. If the pillar of fire was just 5 feet wide, you just walk around it. Amen. This pillar of fire was able to block the entire path so they couldn't go around it to get to the children of Israel. God was there as their defense, and everyone knew about it. And then when the children of Israel crossed over, they still had the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke during the day. The pillar of smoke during the day gave a confidence that as long as I saw that, I was where I was supposed to be. And at night, you had your own natural nightlight. All you had to do was look out and see the pillar of fire and know that presence of God was there, that he didn't leave us nor forsake us. He's still there. He's still protecting. I could sleep better at night knowing that God is there promising to protect me. Well, you know what God's going to do in the millennial kingdom? He's going to bring back this pillar of cloud, the pillar of smoke during the day, and the pillar of fire at night, so the children of Israel once again would know that the presence of God was among them and that the presence of God was going to protect them. Notice with me in verse 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day, and a shining of a flame of fire by night. Why? For upon all the glory shall be a defense. This is going to be a warning to everyone. You don't mess with God's people. Again, if you saw this big tornado whirlwind of fire going around that's 3 miles wide, I wouldn't touch it either. That's a little bit bigger than anyone to handle, anyone to face. You cannot conquer this. God is there protecting his people. Verse 6, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and a covert from the storm and from the rain. Here again, it's speaking about poetical language, but once again, God is going to have his temple set up inside of Jerusalem during this millennial kingdom. It is going to be his capital. And remember, we've done the millennial kingdom and we spent a lot of time describing what this is going to be like. The geography is going to be different. There's going to be a river flowing from this temple into the rest of the land that's going to make everything green. Remember, right now, this is a desert. And it's going to be a place where God's presence is there. And what is God's presence going to do? Notice if you don't mind, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat. Now, remember that this is not Wisconsin. This is a desert. If you've ever been out in a true desert, even if it's the American Southwest in Arizona or Nevada, there is a difference in temperature between the shade and not shade. Up in Wisconsin, it's all nice. You don't care. During the summer, you're fine. But in the desert, it is a drastic change of temperature from sunlight to the shade. Just that shade gives such a protection from the sun. And to the Hebrew people who are used to a desert climate, that sounds refreshing. I'm in the shade in the cool day. Remember, they don't have air conditioners to compare from, so they can't say, God is your air conditioner. Amen. But it's saying something that they could relate to, that in the hot of the day, I can go to God and he could be my refreshing cool. Notice it gives more illustration. He says, and for a place of refuge and for a cover. This is like a shelter from the storm. Jesus is our shelter in the time of storm. And he's that protection, and we can go to him. And Jesus Christ is the one who can give us his presence, his protection, his healing. He can give us the refreshing, the cooling, the place of refuge. We go up to him, the branch, the one who has all these promises attached to him. Notice, this isn't just a name of God proper. This is name of Jesus. And with this name of Jesus here, we have that Jesus Christ, he is King. Jesus Christ, he's the perfect servant. Jesus Christ, the perfect man. Jesus Christ, who is God robed in flesh. And it's this same Jesus who is going to rule in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. And it's this same Jesus. We don't have to wait until the millennial kingdom starts. We could start depending upon this Jesus now. He's the one that could wash us clean. He's the one that can give us protection. He's the one who can give us refreshing. It's Jesus we need to run to. Jesus we need to depend upon. We need to go to this branch. The one that's given to us by God for the fulfillment of his promises to his people. What a wonderful name of God. And even though there's only 6 verses in this chapter, it's still a powerful image of who God is. And it gives us a preview, a glimpse of the millennial kingdom for ourselves, that we have a wonderful God who promised his protection. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And again, we thank you for whom you are, that you are a loving Savior who cares for us, who cares for every need, and that you do care about the heat of the day. You would love to give us a shelter. In the time of uncertainty, that you could give us your presence and your protection, to give us a peace of mind that everything's all right because you're there with us. Lord, help us to see that you're a wonderful God. And perhaps there's someone at the sound of my voice that has never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You've never been washed clean. Your name is not written down. May I say that just come up to him, just admit to him that you're a sinner, and that you need a Savior, to someone to forgive you of your sins. And he promised that if you would go to him and put your dependence and trust on him, he would wash you white as snow, and that he would give you a home up in heaven, and you would be part of his family. Lord, for those who do know Jesus as their Savior, have you been going to Jesus for your protection? Have you been going to him for your refuge? Have you been seeking to be close to him, knowing that when you're close to him, you have everything you need? We have a real God who cares for every part of our life. Help us to be dependent upon you, especially as we learn more about who you are through your names as you revealed yourself.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.